Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. If you go to MobiusStripPress.com, you can find out how you can download these podcasts and find our support documents and links. As a reminder, this is an educational and grassroots program designed to restoring our Constitution by reclaiming the Republic. Many parts of these shows will refer to previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. That said, you will need to listen to all of these shows to garner what Republic Review is and how we can reclaim the Republic. Before I begin on a 2016 wrap-up, let me point out that on this very day, Iowa became a stakeholder to the Constitution. So it is the birth date for the state of Iowa. This is very important because they became a vested power within the Constitution and had a say in whether the federal government could have a role, responsibility, or power, or determine whether they're violating that. So they became an overseer. Anyway, what was accomplished this year, and who am I working with already? There's all sorts of people to list and to give thanks to. In all honesty, after much wrangling and settling in as new citizens to this community, with my beautiful wife's support, and I began preparations in launching this show. The intent is, again, to educate the good and righteous citizens of this republic about the truth of our hybrid constitutional republic, and to introduce to the same that there is a solution that we all have, and we've been ignoring it. It wasn't until 2011, when I sat down with my father, who was dying of cancer, that we came together on the basic principles of what I would refer to as Republic Review. Through my three books, I have articulated what I believe Madison and Jefferson and the framers would have articulated, because that is where I extrapolated the conclusions and the solution from. It would be a humble honor if you'd read my books, but what I want is to share my conclusions of this year, which is my executive summary that is out on Facebook. And it's really the summary of my first book, We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? A Constitutional Fix to a Constitutional Problem. This executive summary and the article is titled The Irrefutable Argument for Republic Review. The background on this, after writing three books and publishing two, which you can find at Mobius Strip Press, and after speaking to different groups about the constitutionality of Republic Review, I am frequently asked to provide a summary. Having done this orally a few times, I decided to provide a formal document for promulgation. If one would like the 15-second pitch, it would be this: 80% of what is spent by the federal government is unconstitutional, and Republic Review is the only process that will stop this and place the federal government back within the framework and scope of the Constitution. If you are truly looking for a solution that can quickly fix our out-of-control general, in other words, federal government, then I assert that this can only be done through Republic Review. If the 15-second pitch did not pique your interest, then I simply ask that you take the few minutes to listen to what I have to say, considering the following information. If after reading this or listening to me, and you are ready to dive in deeper for the details, then I'll gladly give them to you. You can go to my website. Again, you can get them from my books, or you can continue listening to this show and listening to all the shows. But I would tell you that in reading my books, as I said, they will give you the details and the answers, the who, the what, where, the whys, the how, and so forth. If you want to schedule a presentation for an event or a group, then let me know and send me a direct message through Facebook or send me an email. And you can find my email on my website, MobiusStripPress.com, and just go to About the Authors, and at the very bottom you can see my email. It's disguised with the at symbol, because I don't want spam bots pulling in my email address and being able to spam me. And so far, it's been working. The executive summary. The Constitution is a contract written for and by the states. The Constitution authorizes the creation of a general government and specifies limited and defined powers, which are enumerated in the Constitution. The roles, responsibilities, and powers, which I refer to as RRPs, not enumerated in the Constitution or its ratified amendments, are and have been reserved to the states, both separately and collectively, in accordance with the 10th Amendment and the ratification debates. This places the state's authority and power above the general government in all things except for those things specifically granted or delegated in those RRPs, which the states reluctantly delegated to the general government within the confines of the Constitution. Furthermore, if one is unsure who the owners of this contract are, one will find this in Article 7, where the Constitution sets the parameters of who and how many are required to buy into the stock of this new compact in order to make it a legitimate contract. And by the way, that's the states. Inherent in fundamental contract law is the ability for the principal stakeholders, in other words, the owners, to audit their contract at any time, especially when the potential violations committed by the subordinate, in other words, the federal government, have been acknowledged. Therefore, the states possess the authority and power as the stakeholders of the Constitution to audit and revoke any and all violations of the Constitution. The states do not need to submit to a subordinate court system regarding the violations of the RRPs that are reserved to the states or have not been delegated per the Article 5 process to the general government. The states possess the power and oversight as defined in the Constitution and the 10th Amendment, as well as the clarifications and elucidations identified in the ratification debates. Because the Constitution is a contract, and because each state, except Rhode Island, required the contract, or I should say 12 of the states, Rhode Island being the exception, required the contract to be clarified and explained by its authors. In other words, the state delegates to the Constitutional Convention were those who clarified what lines meant to the state delegates that were ratifying the Constitution. These clarifications and elucidations are legal appendages to the Constitution. These arguments and definitions were used in explaining the contract to the state ratification conventions. In addition, some states used the Federalist Papers for further information, which were promulgated to the newspapers within the states that had not ratified the Constitution. Bear in mind that the definitions given and accepted in the ratification debates are amendments to the contract. And fortunately, these amendments were well documented. Furthermore, these clarifications and definitions in the ratification debates are congruent and resonate and align with the concepts and principles that the states are superior in all things not delegated to the general government. This was precisely why the Constitution required immediate amendments to insert the Bill of Rights, which stated the assertion of power contained in the 10th Amendment. Also bear in mind that it took less time to ratify the Bill of Rights than it did the Constitution. Consequently, Republic review is the process by which the states audit the Constitution. Any one state can initiate an audit of the Constitution by itself at any time, just as Madison and Jefferson did in 1798 within Kentucky and Virginia, and then called for their fellow states to coalesce in a convention for Republic review. This convention is strictly the aforementioned process of auditing the Constitution, and it grants no powers to amend or rewrite the Constitution, nor to generate a new Constitution. Republic review is not a vehicle to these aforementioned conventions to change or replace the Constitution. It is simply an exertion of the authority and oversight that this that is inherent to the states as the stakeholders of the compact, in other words, our Constitution, to review and revoke assumed and usurped RRPs, or roles and responsibilities and powers that are being exercised by the federal government that were not delegated to them. Madison and the framers stated a plethora of times during the convention that the Federalist Papers and during the ratification debates of the Constitution that the states were superior in all things not enumerated or delegated to the general government in the Constitution. There are a few of the quotes from the Federalist Papers that I posted on a Facebook page. But because I hear music in my words, let me stop right there and I will take it back from these quotes right here. We'll be right back after the break. Thank you very much. Right. Well, I really appreciate the sponsors, and I thank those who have sponsored this and supported me this past year. But before I get those accolades out, let me finish this executive summary and where I left off. That there are a few quotes from the Federalist Papers that are posted on my Facebook page, and as a matter of fact, I believe there's a total of 17. I do not include the full citation, but it's quoted there, or I should say the full quotation isn't there, but I just cite the entire article, number 49, which is where Madison makes the salient point of using an administrative convention that audits the Constitution when one branch of the general government encroaches upon another branch's powers. Actually, in the 49th article, he encourages people of those branch, whether it be the legislative, the president, and or the judiciary, to make an appeal to the citizens of the republic to convene a convention, an administrative convention, to deal with the encroachments, to clearly point that what is going on here is a violation of the Constitution. And if you really think about that, why hasn't Congress wanted to open up let's open the bottle so the genie can get out? And I think they're just afraid of the genie. They're afraid of the people. Anyway, for further proof and evidence, more citations will be posted on Facebook later that contain the same message and content from the ratification debates. And when this occurs, this posting will be updated with accurate links. So that's why it's very important to go in and like the Mobius Strip Press page so that you will be notified when I make these posts and make these links available. Anyone who reads a few of Madison's arguments regarding state superiority, and once one reads that the general government is strictly limited to only the enumerated powers, the listed powers that the states have delegated to them as specified in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, then one should realize that my 15-second pitch before is accurate, spot-on accurate. Over 80% of the powers being exercised by the general government are unconstitutional. If one needs further clarification to this, one must read Madison's veto, and I've said this several times, you've got to read his veto of the Internal Improvements Bill, or what I call the bonus bill. He vetoed it on March 3rd, 1817, to conclude that the general government cannot use the supremacy, necessary and proper, commerce, or the general welfare clauses to assume a new role, responsibility, or power. Madison clearly states that the government must amend the Constitution by following the Article 5 process in the Constitution. Consequently, the following departments are unconstitutional and are violations of the Constitution and are usurpations of the state's roles, responsibilities, and powers. Because the general government did not follow the Article 5 process in establishing these departments, and these departments are the Department of Justice, Interior, Agriculture, Commerce, Labor, Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development, Transportation, Energy, Education, Veterans Affairs, and Homeland Security. Suffice it to say that only the states have the authority to delegate these powers, and nowhere in the Constitution or in the ratification debates have the states allowed or accepted the concept of a statute of limitations to challenge violations. Nor has the Constitution been amended to allow for any branch of the general government to adopt any new role, responsibility, or power. They just can't assume these roles, responsibilities, and powers or usurp them. They must follow the Article 5 process per the contract. Furthermore, the Constitution has not been amended to allow any branch of the general government or the entire general government to collectively assume any new role, responsibility, or power. Again, the only way the general government can obtain a new role, responsibility, or power, or change an existing role, responsibility, and power is through the Article 5 process, which requires 3/4, currently that's 38 states, to approve the new change or role, responsibility, or power to the Constitution. There has yet to be an amendment to the Constitution to grant the general government the ability to assume any role, responsibility, or power that they may do as they please. And so when the Sedition Act was passed by Congress and signed by President John Adams, Jefferson said in his Kentucky Resolution, and I know I've read this before, but it's worth repeating here, that the several states composing the United States of America are not united on the principle of unlimited submission to their general government, but that by a compact under the style and title of a constitution for the United States and of amendments thereto, they constituted a general government for special purposes, delegated to that government certain definite powers, reserving each state to itself the residuary mass of the right to their own self-government, and that whensoever the general government assumes undelegated powers, it acts or unauthoritative, void and of no force, that to this compact each state acceded as a state and is an integral part, its co-states forming as to itself the other party, that the government created by this compact was not made the exclusive or final judge of the extent of the powers delegated to itself, since that would have made its discretion and not the Constitution the measure of its powers, but that, as in all other cases of compact among powers having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge for itself, as well of infractions as of the mode and measure of redress. Consequently, the only solution is precisely what Madison and Jefferson attempted to do in 1798 in the response to the Alien and Sedition Acts. Who would know better than the author and father of the Constitution? If one examines these resolutions, Madison and Jefferson did not request to convene an Article 5 convention. This is because there is no requirement to fix a contract when it is being palpably or blatantly violated. The solution is enforcement and compliance. What they did was first respond in kind as a unified body of legislators within the states of Kentucky and Virginia. In essence, they challenged and exerted their authority over the general government and audited the unlawful acts against the Constitution. Their finding was simple. There is no authority for the general government to institute these laws without the states delegating these changes per the Article 5 process. Consequently, these two states first nullified these acts on their own in an individual resolutions. They then appealed to the other states to join them in nullifying these laws and then admonish and correct the general government with the authority of the Republic. Unfortunately, at this time, the states did not perceive the danger in this violation and failed to valiantly defend and fulfill their obligation to protect their citizens from federal tyranny. Can the states do this? Of course. If one has read the cited Federalist Papers and the ratification debates, one would understand that they did that. They not only can do this, according to Madison, in the Virginia Resolution of 1798, the states are duty-bound to protect their citizens from federal tyranny. Again, all powers not delegated to the states, individually and collectively, as a republic, stated differently, what RRPs, or roles, responsibilities, and powers, are authorized to the states within the Constitution? The answer? All roles and responsibilities that have not been formally delegated to the general government within the Constitution. In other words, the powers left to the states and the Republic are innumerable, and it would be folly to attempt to list them. This audit, or Republic review process, where the states exercise their authority of oversight over the Constitution, is the most important tool the Republic can use in constraining the general government, and it can identify any and all roles and responsibilities and powers being exercised by the general government that are not enumerated in the Constitution. There are more mechanics and parameters to this process, but suffice it to say that once one state begins this concept, as they share their findings with other states in the Union, these other states will begin to coalesce enough states to constitutionally revoke and remove the unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers being exercised by the general government, as Madison asserted in the Federalist Paper number 49. This is the only constitutional contractual process that can save our republic and our Constitution. Allowing unconstitutional government or federal tyranny to exist and continue to grow will be the demise of this republic. Now is the time to get informed and get involved in our efforts to initiate republic review. For when the time comes that the president or the general government collectively chooses to suspend or discard this constitution, it will be too late, my friends. I just want you to know that it was a great year, and I hope you have a happy new year. May God bless the republic, and God bless you. Thank you very much.